on. Wouldn't you praise the Lord, everyone?
Praise the Lord.
I've been really nervous all week. I've had a week because when they called and asked me about this poem, I didn't know her, but I knew her family. And then her great aunt is a friend of the lady that I take care of. And the accident itself was sad. And then these young men, and I met them yesterday. So one of the aunts got in touch with me because I guess she was at the service for my great nephew, that I wrote a poem and read. So I'm always really nervous getting up in front of everybody. And that place was so crowded, but I didn't look at the people. I looked at the children, her children, because I had met them and talked to them. Then this week, I also, the lady I take care of, as I shared, had to take her to the I Can See Decline, and I don't want to start crying there because I just really love her. And I know, concerned about Buddy because he's had to go to the doctor several times. So it's been a full week of really trusting God. It's put me in a place of greater dependence upon him. And him telling me, you are not your family's salvation, I am. He has told me that many times. And what he has been dealing with me is about forgiveness. So that's what my title of this is forgiveness. Because through many things I went through my life and things I went through previous marriage and all kind of things I went through, God has always made it so important to me. My little niece over there, Savannah, love her and her little boy so much. And God has made it so important to me that I have also made it important to them and other granddaughter and niece that I've raised and my sons about forgiveness because he has made it important to me. He has shown me that if you don't forgive, and I've got some things to read, but it puts up a wedge between him and you. There's no way that you can have a relationship with God and be doing what he would have you to do and him flowing forth in your life if there's not forgiveness. And all of us have someone that we've had some aught with, someone that has hurt us in some way that we need to give it to God because God has shown me I had to give it to him because I went through things and I've said, I wouldn't, if it wasn't for, and it's, some family members, their I would have nothing to do with them. I would help their children, but not them. But God said, oh, yes, you would, because I love them, and I want you to love them. But he showed me, I can't do it myself. I tried it. And the first thing he told me to do was to pray for them and ask me to bless them. And there's no way you can pray for someone and sincerely keep asking God to bless them that he does not change you. And that's what he did. He started changing me. He started giving me a love for this person and wanting God to bless them, for God to fulfill his plan and purpose in their lives. This is not all my message. I'm going to pray in a minute and start. This is just an intro. And so this is what he was showing me. And I desired to be pleasing to him and for him to be shown in and through my life. So, Lord, yes, I want to be obedient. Yes, Lord, I want you to flow forth through me. But I know that I have to have your help because I didn't like them. I didn't want to like them. I didn't want to bless them. I'm just being honest. I didn't want to bless them. I wanted God to deal harshly with them and set them straight. And God said, no, I love them, and I want you to love them. But it shows you how you cannot love without God. I have found even being married that you love someone, and I love Buddy, and he knows it. But you know what? God shows me our love only goes just so far. And he has taught me and shown me that I can give you even a greater love for your husband, for my niece, her little boy, my sister, others in my family, others that I meet, other friends. He showed me I can give you even a greater love than what you have. That covers, it covers, it covers all the shortcomings, everything you see. He just let me know I can give you a greater love. And he's been doing it, and I thank him for it. I thank him for it. So, Lord, I'm going to pray right now. And, Father, I ask that what I speak forth, it's you. It's what you have given me to share, that you receive the glory, O God, and that those that hear and have ears, that they're blessed, that is taken to heart, Lord, and that, Father, you do in them what, Father, you've desired to do in all of us, Father. And I thank you and give you the praise, for I ask it in Jesus' name. The one thing that God was showing me, I was looking up and taking notes, and he was showing me what forgiveness, and these are some things that I wrote down. He said forgiveness is that you want to, I want to give you some on this, is what he gave me. Forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release and the feelings of resentment, vengeance toward a person or group or that who has harmed you. And he said that regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not, he said this is what he's requiring of us. Forgiveness is for our own growth and happiness. And when we hold on to hurt and pain and resentment and anger, it harms us far more than it does the offender. Forgiveness frees us to live in the present. Forgiveness allows us to move on without anger, contempt, or even seeking revenge. And I know we've done movies. I know I have, so I'm speaking from experience. Forgiveness leads you to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, less stress, less hostility, lower blood pressure, and fewer symptoms of depression. And he was just showing me a lot of things that we have that we look and you see the symptom, you know, you see the effects. It's really come from a seed of unforgiveness. And we just look and see the outward things that are happening. It also helps to give you a stronger immune system, improved heart, and healthy, improved self-esteem. So by embracing forgiveness, you also embrace peace, hope, gratitude, and joy. And I said, sometimes we feel, what's the matter? I don't have joy. And we need to really ask God, what is it? What is this coming from? Is there a root? Is there something in me that you are after? That's why I don't have joy. That's why I'm stressful. That's why I just have no peace. And he has shown it. He said, unforgiveness you have gives you a loss of freedom. And you're consumed with it. And you're controlled by it. And you become like the offender, and there's a loss of hope. There is depression. And forgiveness is a release of these things, that it doesn't mean you always reconcile with that person, because sometimes you don't. But it does mean that you have to return. It doesn't always mean, say, you return to the same relationship or accept the same harmful behaviors from that person. But I can tell you from experience that when you give it to God, that he covers it, he takes it. He's the one that eliminates it in your life. And it's not all of a sudden, but it's a gradual step by step. And I was seeing that he will do above and beyond what you could ever ask, think, or even expect. I was going to say share experiences, but I already shared some of them. But the scripture that he gave me, let me get, because I said that's some things in the natural, but in Matthew 8:21, he was saying that Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? As many as up to seven times. And Jesus answered him and said, I tell you, not to seven times, but 70 times seven. And said, so it was showing how the kingdom of heaven is, how God, what he's expecting of us. But he's not just wanting us to do it because he knows we can't. But as we lay it at his feet, as we give him these things that he's pointing out in our lives, He will do it in us and through us. Oh, Luke 6:35. I've got, but love your enemies and be kind and do good, doing favors. I'm reading in the Amplified. And be kind and do good, and that's doing favors, so that someone derives benefit from them. Lend, expecting and hoping for nothing in return, but considering nothing as loss and despairing of no one. For your recompense, your reward will be great, rich and strong and intense and abundant, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind and charitable to the ungrateful and the selfish and the wicked. So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as your Father is in all these things. So judge not, neither pronouncing judgment or subjecting to censor, that you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned and pronounce guilty. Acquit, forgive, release, give up all the resentment, and let it drop, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Because we don't see many times that this is actually binding us, these things that we hold on to, these things that God is showing us that he wants us so be released in our life for him to come forth even greater in this. I got Ephesians 4:31. Here it is. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you, and with all malice and spite and ill will or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. And many times you find, you look at someone and you're thinking, I remember they did this, did that. You did, and I'm speaking for me then. And I remember this and that. And they try to say, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Yes, you do. If God really does a work in you and has forgiven through you and has done this in you, you do forget. I remember talking to a family member, and they said to me, you know, I've done a lot of things to you and done some hateful things, done some things, but they said, but I know that you love me because of all that you do for me and my children. And I let them know it's been God, because you don't know how many times I wanted to hurt you. I mean, really, I'm just speaking honestly. I looked at them, I said, I'm going to have to hurt them, and then I'm going to have to ask God to forgive me, because I'm going to hurt them. I'm tired of this stuff. And then they'll leave me alone. And God let me know how displeasing it was to him, how hurt that he was by my thoughts. And oh, I wept, I cried. I said, oh, God, help me, because he just let me see like I was looking in a mirror and seeing me. I said, Lord, how I need your help in this, because I couldn't do it. And he did it. And when you lay something at his feet, and sometimes I've had to say, oh, God, work the will in me to want your will and to do what you are you're requiring of me, because I see I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. Colossians 3:13. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. If one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so much you forgive. We act like sometimes we can, and when I say this, I'm speaking about me, that we can have a resentment or we look at somebody and say, oh boy, oh boy. God knows my thoughts, but I'm not going to speak this out. And he has shown me that this is displeasing to me. I want you to be a sweet smelling savor, and you cannot be when you have unforgiveness, when you're backbiting, if you're talking about somebody or you're being critical and that. And boy, he has just, this has been a walk with him that he has shown me how crucial forgiveness is if we want to really please God and have a right relationship with him. And I certainly do. I certainly do. And he said, and above all these, put on love. Enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which, as members of Christ, one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds. Dwell in you in all richness. And as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight, intelligence, and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon him, his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. And I just see more and more how we just need him in our lives each and every day. We make decisions to get up. I remember when Mark had spoke, and I say, God reminds me of, I choose joy. So I can wake up tired. I see somebody's getting tired of me speaking. So I can hear him say, choose joy. And I do, no matter if I'm tired, worn, or what, I wake up and I can hear Mark say, choose joy. I choose joy. And this is what I try to do each day. In Hebrews 12:14, let me see, it says, strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see God. And we're seeing him daily. I'm not looking at, we see him as we come to the end and he calls us home. I'm just saying that we need to see every day, strive for this every day. In John, and this is my last scripture, in James 5:16, it says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. And the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and dynamic in its working. And I'm asking God just so to continue to work in my life. And I desire so to be obedient to him. And I desire each day as I go through situations to draw upon him for my strength, and for him so to be seen in my life, through my life, that he may minister love to all those that I come in contact with. Thank you so much. God bless everyone. No one real long, but thank you.
I had to take my shoes off because yeah. I wore them all yesterday. Last night.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That was an excellent word, and we all need to hear that word, you know, because we need to realize that forgiveness is the lifeblood of the body of Christ. And if we don't forgive, other people, we can't expect God to forgive us, you know, to pour out that forgiveness and love upon us. And, you know, I've dealt with those situations over the years myself, and I think that was just an excellent message, and we all needed to hear that because we've all had some situation, yeah. Come up here and share it. No, we can't. You won't be on. Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. I got the yellow mic. Hang on just a second. Yeah, we're going to hear from Debbie. Here, go ahead.
This is a story of a friend of mine I've known for 45 years. We haven't been friends for quite a few, though. But this is how unforgiveness did her in her life all these years. She claimed that her father did something sexual to her when she was a youth. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a true story or not, no one really knows. But in her heart, he did. 45, 50 years later, she's been an alcoholic, terrible alcoholic. She's estranged from her family. Been on drugs, mental problems, because she chooses not to forgive. And many times I've said, you're not saying that what he did wasn't wrong. You're choosing in yourself to let it go for you. She's never, ever been able to do that, and it's affected her whole life. She's 67 years old now, never been happy a day in her life because she's held that unforgiveness against her dad all those years. And it's sad because he doesn't even know it. He just knows he doesn't have a good relationship with his daughter, but doesn't even know why, because she hates him. She couldn't, I've talked to her numerous times, let it go. It's 50 years ago, 45, 50 years ago, but she can't because in her eyes, he was wrong. But she's never understood that it was for her that she chooses to forgive that person and move on. Amen. That was Debbie Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Oh. Praise the Lord. Goldie's going to share something now.
It takes God to do that. It takes God in her to do that. Because I went through some, if you read that book, I went through some things very similar. And it took God before, it took me to when I got 31 years old. Thankfully, I had a praying family behind me. But at the age of 31 years old, when I accepted Christ in my life and gave in to him, because he was already there after me. But when I gave in to him, that's when things in me began to change. Because I couldn't change myself. I couldn't make myself do anything. I couldn't make myself forgive the people that hurt me. I couldn't do that. And I carried that bitterness around, even against my mother. I carried that bitterness around. But it was God who brought me to my knees to say, I forgive them. It was God who chose to, what do you say, encourage me or even to chasten me at times. To say, you know what, I have to give this up because it was hurting me more than it was hurting them. And a lot of times, the guy who actually messed my life up, which was a cousin, a kin, he never knew for a long time that I was caring all of this inside against him. All they knew is I would not come to their house anymore. I wouldn't go around them anymore. You know, I and all those different things. But God kept somehow bringing him in front of me till I finally had to say, when he called me, I had to say, I forgive you. His mind was so messed up, he didn't even know what I was saying. But I had to let it go. It wasn't about him. It was about me too.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oscar,
yeah.
Just a thought crossed my mind. You know, unforgiveness is like a cancer in your soul, and there is a remedy, And that is forgiveness, and God has plenty of it.
Amen.
Oscar, there's a scripture that says God's goodness brings all men to repentance.
That's right.
That might not be word for word, but without God, all of us are guilty.
Amen.
And, you know, we need to realize what we've been saved from and into.
Amen.
We've been given life and life abundantly. And I believe God would be pleased if we would give that life away.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I feel like I'm supposed to share this poem with you. I gave Brenda a copy of this the other day, and she'd asked for it. And Scripture tells us to be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't rise up inside of us. And a lot of times when you hold unforgiveness in your heart, it grows into a root, and it gets down deep, and sometimes you can't deal with it, and you have to ask God to help you deal with it. And if you don't do it, then all of the fruit that it begins to produce is sour and bitterness. And God gave me this poem years ago, and I'll read it to you, and I know it by heart, but I'll read it just in case. And it's called A Root of Bitterness. There is a root that grows so deep, and its branches grow oh so strong. It will steal away your praise, and it will steal away your song. The fruit it bears is sour and bitter to the taste. Instead of bringing nourishment, it produces nothing but waste. It starts with a little envy and even a little strife, and if it's not soon dealt with, it will sap your very life. The only way to get rid of this tree and the bitterness of its fruit is to dig below the surface and remove it at its root. The tools to use are repentance and forgiveness in your heart. We also need to ask our Father His love to impart. For out of this love will grow another tree in its place. The fragrance of its blossom will be that of amazing grace. The fruit of love and joy will be there too. It will sparkle with the diamonds of long-suffering and be as refreshing as the dew. And all who see this tree and partake of its taste will never have to worry, for it will never go to waste. And I'm going to tell you, if you've got some resentment or some hard feelings in your life, if you don't ask God to help you deal with them and get them out to the surface and get rid of them, that root of bitterness will do nothing in your life but produce sourness, bitterness. It'll take your health away. It'll take everything away from you, because as long as you hold that down inside of you, each seed is after its own kind. And the seed of unforgiveness will produce nothing but unforgiveness. And it'll produce nothing but arguments and everything else. And I tell you what, we've all had situations in our life where we had to forgive somebody. And I tell you what, you have to ask the Lord to help you, because you can't do it. You dig below the surface. You admit, first of all, that it's there. And then second of all, you say, Lord, please replace this with your love. And you have to choose to forgive. You have to choose to do it. It ain't going to just happen automatically. But you have to choose to forgive. And once you choose that, then God can begin to replace it with the love of God. And a lot of times, if you knew the reason that the person hurt you or whatever was behind it, sometimes it's because they've been hurt in some way, you know, and they're just pouring out their bitterness upon you. And that's where we have to ask the Lord, Lord, let me be an expression of your love. Let me give that forgiveness, like Brenda was saying. That was a really good word, Brenda. It's a very timely word for the body of Christ, because we all need to forgive. It says, forgive those who mistreat you. And in so you'll heap coals of fire, or despitefully use you, and in so you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. Coals of fire off of the altar, that's not to destroy them. That's to begin to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in their life. In other words, begin to pray for them and begin to bless them in the name of the Lord, like Brenda was saying. Tremendous word, Brenda. I really appreciate it. And we all need to hear that. And it's up to us. It's something you have to do too, because you have to first of all say, Lord, I'm willing to take a look at this thing, and it's in me, and I don't want it to be in me. And I'm going to choose to forgive, and I'm going to choose you over this anger and this hostility and everything else. And that's your part of it. And you do have a part in it. Because as long as you harbor that down inside and say, well, bless God, they was mean to me, so I don't care. Well, you know, that's just going to produce more and more and more of that. And boy, it's going to get uglier and uglier. It won't get better. That's right. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. This has been an excellent word today. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That was an excellent, excellent word, Brenda. And it was timely, very timely. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you today, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you were the ultimate forgiver. When you hung on Calvary and you took all of our sins and all of our misgivings and all of our hurts and all of our everything as you were hanging there on Calvary, and you was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? When you said, Father, forgive them, he did. That's right, he did. Now it's up to us to forgive them also. And we need to ask the Lord to give us that ability to forgive those who've hurt us and done us wrong or whatever. Because, like I say, if we understood sometimes that they're hurting us out of a place of hurt themselves, and if we'll pray for them, sometimes we'll find that God will bring healing in their lives. But first, we need him to bring it in our life. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you right now, if there's anybody in here who's feeling that anger or that hurt down inside, that you would begin to just bring it up to the surface, Father, just like the gold that's cast into the furnace and the dross rises to the top, that when it rises up to the top, Father, by your Holy Spirit, begin to skim it off. And, Father, that your divine nature might be seen in all of us rather than hatred and aggravation and name-calling and backbiting and everything else, because those things are not of you, Father. And I ask you to just bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And if anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. God bless you all. Yep. Sure.
About forgiveness, for me, I had to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of wrong things. Yeah. And once I was able to forgive myself, I was able to forgive others. Right. And I was able to feel God's love. Amen. And I finally felt worthy of it. And I didn't start finding that until I came to this church and turned my life over really actually forgave myself. So forgiveness has to start from within, right, before you can forgive out.
Yes, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all. Go ahead and have a wonderful day. If anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Do you have something else you want to say?
They want to have prayer because she's the goal.